Here we go. We are back with another episode of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows. And this time, as promised, it's the brackets. It is my personal bracket that I'm going to have. Now, if you're like me, you have five or six of them, right? Like you're in all sorts of different pools with your friends or in groups or whatever. But this is my personal main, my A bracket, I guess. So this is the one that I like the most that I've done. Going through the regions here and the picks that I'm going to make, or in general, the plays I like the most. So this is my most liked bracket, I should say. We're going to break this up into two regions per episode. So hopefully it won't be too long here. And like I said previously, you know, in the upsets and champion pick episode, not doing a thorough breakdown of each team and each matchup, just giving some little thoughts and moving on. So let's start for the first two that we're going to do here. We're going to do the left side of the bracket. And you know that is the East region and the West region. So let's start with the West region, which to me could be the region with a lot of chaos and could be the upset region. Let's start with the 116, North Carolina versus the winner of Howard Wagner. I don't see another 16-1 upset this year. UNC advances. The 8-9, Mississippi State and Michigan State. This is virtually even teams from power conferences who had moderate to decent seasons. Michigan State, you would probably more so say that they had a disappointing season based on, you know, who they actually played and who they actually beat. But it is Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo usually gets one. And I'm going Michigan State here, setting up UNC Michigan State in round two. The 5-12 game, this is, you know, always the favorite seeding to pick an upset. It's St. Mary's versus Grand Canyon. St. Mary's, you know, I talked about last episode with Gonzaga. I don't think either of these teams from the West Coast Conference are very good. They really, throughout the year, if you looked at their schedule, didn't really play anybody that was really good. They just kind of beat up on each other, and St. Mary's actually beat Gonzaga twice, you know, once in the regular season at Gonzaga. And then the other time was in the WCC final, where St. Mary's basically kind of not necessarily dominated them. Gonzaga, I should say, shot poorly. And then Grand Canyon is a really interesting live underdog to me. I don't know if they can actually pull off the game outright, but they have a lot of elements that I like in someone that can win or pull this 12-5 upset. Elements are, you know, they've got bigger guys that can rebound, hold down the paint defensively, and they have a bunch of good guards. So Grand Canyon has all the elements. Now, they're a little wild with the ball. They turn the ball over a lot, but their guards are on par athletic-wise. I mean, they have a guy who I think his name is I think his last name is like Grant Foster or something like that. And this kid's got an incredible story. Like he started at Kansas, transferred. I think the transfer was a medical issue because the guy had, I believe, two heart surgeries. And so he's been in college a long time, but he hasn't actually been playing what feels like a long time for, you know, the length that he's actually been quote unquote in college. This is a top, D1 program, power conference athlete who is just, unfortunately, his path was, you know, redirected a little bit because of medical issues. So I like Grand Canyon a lot. I think they're a very live dog. I don't know if they can actually win. So I think the game could be interesting and close and really exciting. But I do think I am going to take St. Mary's here to actually hold on against Grand Canyon, which leads us to the 4-13 matchup. That's Alabama versus Charleston. Alabama is, you know, I think everybody is down on them heading into the tournament. They've lost a lot of games recently. They just cannot beat good teams, but they beat up on bad teams. So I don't know if you qualify Charleston as a bad team. They did win their conference tournament. But this is the highest total if you're looking at gambling lines, I think, in the first round of the tournament. I think it's at like 170-something, and that might still climb. So 80-plus points expected from both teams. Charleston, Alabama play at a very fast pace, shoot a lot of threes. Charleston is known for shooting the most amount of threes. So that kind of variance, could that be an interesting thing that could slip up Alabama? It could if Charleston gets red hot. But ultimately, I don't think Charleston really has the quote-unquote athletes to kind of keep up with Alabama for the entire game. I think it could be interesting for 35 minutes of it, and then Alabama kind of separates and gets a little bit of margin at the very end. So I've got Alabama setting up matchup between the 4-5 St. Mary's Alabama in the next round. The 6-11 Clemson versus New Mexico. And this is my universal. We talked about it in the upset potential episode yesterday. I've just got New Mexico in all of my brackets. Not saying that Clemson is bad. You can have a conversation about the ACC in general, but I don't think Clemson is very good, and I think they're probably the most susceptible sixth seed in this entire tournament. And New Mexico, I know it's the West Coast Conference, and I say the same thing about the West Coast, or not the West Coast, but the Mountain West. I say the same thing about the Mountain West Conference as I've been saying about the ACC. It's not that good, but New Mexico, they won the tournament. I think you can make an argument that they're the best team in that conference, even though there's a bunch of teams ahead of them in their quote-unquote conference rankings. I think they have kind of the highest ceiling of all those Mountain West teams that could actually be dangerous. So I'm picking New Mexico here. So now we get to the 3-14 matchup, which is Baylor and Colgate. Colgate has been a tournament for like the past 5 years or something like that. And they usually shoot a lot of threes. The problem is they just cannot keep up athletically with teams. So I think they had one interesting game with Wisconsin, but Wisconsin, we know, naturally plays slower and plays down to opponents. And Wisconsin still won it, and I think they still won it by double digits. But ever since, Colgate just doesn't really have the horses athletically to keep up with teams. Baylor, I know, is an up-and-down, mostly guards team, and they really only have one big man, Missy, it's got to be Missy, right? I'm not sure how to pronounce it 100%, so sorry about butchering it. But if he gets in foul trouble, that could be interesting, but I don't know if Colgate is going to be able to actually put him in foul trouble, if that makes sense. So I'm going Baylor here, setting up New Mexico Baylor. The 7-10, super interesting matchup between Dayton and Nevada. Now, Nevada also could make their case to being the top team in the Mountain West Conference. Dayton fell apart in the A-10 in the first round. They got upset by eventual conference winner and bid stealer, probably from my beloved Indiana State in Duquesne. But Dayton shoots a lot of threes. Nevada shoots a lot of threes. I think Dayton shoots almost 40% as a team from threes. This is a super interesting matchup. I don't think you can go wrong either way. I don't know if either team is going to win the next round anyways, but I'm really excited for this matchup. But I am going to take the 10 seed Nevada here. Just a better team from a better, slightly better conference, I guess I should say. So I'm going Nevada. Now the 2-15 is Arizona and Long Beach State, which if you don't know about Long Beach State, it's been on the news. I tweeted about it when it came out, but there's a really interesting scenario happening with their head coach or former head coach who's still coaching them. Long Beach State, they fired their head coach the week before their conference tournament. And they're in the tournament, so you know that Long Beach won the conference tournament. So administration fired the coach and said that he could finish out the season. I don't know if they expected Long Beach State to actually win the tournament, but they let the guy that they just fired, who's not going to be there in 2 weeks, they let him finish out the season, and they won the conference tournament, and now he's going up against Arizona. Just a real kind of awkward, just an awkward situation all around, and especially if you're an interim head coach who was on his staff, and now you're quote-unquote supposed to be moving into that role to take over. Just a really interesting dynamic. But I'm not taking Long Beach State here. I'm taking Arizona, which sets up our next round here. We got North Carolina versus Michigan State. I said it. at the top about this region. This is my get weird funky region. I'm taking the 9 seed Michigan State to upset UNC in the second round in a classic. So one seed, typically every year, a 1 seed loses in the second round every year. To me, UNC is the most susceptible team to that based on these matchups. Now, the thing about Michigan State is they could absolutely lose to Mississippi State. Like, they just could fall flat on their face. If they get by them, I think they match up really, really well with UNC, and it's going to be a super close game. So I am taking Michigan State to knock off North Carolina and make the Sweet 16. Now, next matchup, St. Mary's versus Alabama. This is a contrast battle of styles. St. Mary's, not necessarily slow, but they prefer to grind it out, run through their big man in Saxon, kick it out for guys from threes. And Alabama, you know, is the five out more, not shorter bigs, but they're not bulky guys who are going to beat you down low, right? They're going to play more on the perimeter, drive and kick, shoot kick out threes. I think the pace could get to St. Mary's a little bit, especially if Alabama gets hot from the perimeter and they just can't, like, St. Mary's is not a team that can keep up offensively to come back in this kind of game. So I'm taking Alabama to make it to the Sweet 16 to match up against Michigan State. So now we have New Mexico and Baylor. New Mexico, like I said, I like them a lot. Do I think they can beat Baylor? Yes. But they are a wild card. You know that they've had ups and downs. Do I expect them to put two quality games together back to back? No. So I am taking the Baylor Bears here. But I really like the matchup, and I think New Mexico has a real chance to actually win that one. So to round out round two, we have Nevada versus Arizona. This is another one where Nevada could win this 100%. And I can say that about every single one of them, right? The Nevada team is interesting. They shoot from three. Their point guard or shooting guard, Lucas, I can't remember if he's point guard or shooting guard, but he was part of that Oregon State team that made that deep run to the Elite Eight that surprised everybody, right? Like, they won the Pac-12 conference to even get in a tournament, and then they ran off a win from, I think, the 11th seed to make the conference tournament or make the Elite Eight. So he's been there. He's done that. He's played Arizona a lot. He kind of knows to what to expect, except the players are all different now. But Arizona, I think, after being bounced out in round one by Princeton, they don't want to be embarrassed here with an early exit. And if they get bounced again, you got to start talking about the head coach, Lloyd. Can he do it? We know he can get the players and have a great regular season. Can he actually win in a tournament? Because we haven't seen that yet. But I'm going with Arizona to make the Sweet 16, setting up Baylor, Arizona. Now, Michigan State, Alabama. I have no idea where to go with this one. So it's just pure gut reaction. And I'm going with Alabama. And I know, Alabama, like, this team was falling apart at the end. Like, they just can't beat anybody good. And you have them going to the Elite Eight? Yeah. Alabama is a team that beats up on weaker competition. So they can beat up on Charleston a little bit. I think St. Mary's is weaker than them. So they can beat up on them a little bit. And Michigan State trying to put three games together here, I just don't think they ultimately have enough, but would not surprise me to see Michigan State in the Elite Eight, but I'm taking Alabama. Now, Baylor, Arizona, I just got straight Arizona in this one. They just outclassed them with athletes, perimeter play. Baylor can get hot from three. Arizona has something they can rely on in the post, but I would be more on Baylor over Arizona if I knew they had a big that could stretch out Omar Ballo for Arizona, because that's kind of been the problem for Arizona, is their big man is just big and lumbering, doesn't want to guard in the perimeter. Missy, I'm just going to say his name different every time on purpose just to see if anybody's paying attention, is not a big who shoots. Now he will catch and dribble drive, which might be interesting, but they're very thin on the front court. So I think Arizona takes advantage of that. Arizona into the Elite Eight. So now we get to Alabama and Arizona, battle of the A's. I'm going Arizona here to actually make the Final Four, the kind of quote-unquote Cinderella run for a four seed is over. Arizona gets it to the Final Four, which that finishes up the Western region. Let's do the Eastern. Start with the 116 UConn Stetson. Nothing to be said there. UConn. The 8-9 is one of my more favorite matchups of the first round just because of my personal interest in both teams. FAU, Florida Atlantic versus Northwestern. Look, in all transparency, a month ago, I was already considering Northwestern to be an Elite Eight team. And then they got hit with major injuries to Ty Berry, I believe his name, and Andrew Nicholson. One, Andrew Nicholson was their big man center. Doesn't really score, but he holds down the paint. Ty Berry was another awesome guard for Northwestern. And I love Boo Booey, their point guard. They still have the pieces to be a good team and win this first round matchup against FAU. If they had everybody, they would be a real live dog for me to knock off Utah, UConn in round two. But ultimately, I just don't think they have enough to get by FAU. And I know everybody's down on FAU. They lost to Temple, I believe it was, who was a terrible team until the tournament. And everybody is dogging them for the seed that they got. They thought they were overseeded. I like FAU to come out here against Northwestern. And it hurts my heart because I've been on the Boo Booey train, Northwestern, for quite a while. The injuries just really hurt them. But it's a great game. It is a coin flip, literally a coin flip. The 5-12 in this matchup, in this region, is San Diego State versus UAB. UAB had a really nice run in the AAC tournament, which you could say was helped more by the higher seeds being upset early. And so they just had to beat, you know, the teams in their conference that were worse than them. And they dominated their final, and they get it. A super athletic team. Kind of play similarly to San Diego State. San Diego State, if you've seen them all year, they have struggled. They're really missing, you know, the guys from last year, especially Mensah, who was holding down the paint for them. They're just smaller on the front court, but they can hold you down defensively. UAB just has a bunch of athletes. So it's kind of like, is UAB going to not necessarily stay hot, but you saw them shoot really, really well in the AAC final, which I don't know if that's a product of just playing Temple. But they have an interesting forward, Lindenberg, I believe, who's super athletic, who might get some, you know, some NBA draft looks at the end of this. I just don't like San Diego State. Maybe I should say that. San Diego State is probably going to win this. But in my heart, I just can't do it. I'm going to take UAB to actually pull this off. My first, and maybe only out of all this, 12-5 upset. Now, honestly, does UAB really have enough, or do I think they're disciplined enough to actually pull this off in the end? Like, I think it's going to be close all game. The experience of San Diego State probably gets them the win in the last 3 minutes. Is UAB going to be able to execute enough in the final 3 minutes to actually pull this off? That's what I'm not, you know, I'm not too confident about that one, but I am going to take UAB just because of, I'm just not a huge fan of San Diego State. The 4-13 in this region is Auburn versus Yale. Look, I really like Yale. They have a big guy who can bring it out to the perimeter and drive by you. I mean, Johnny Broome is, he's trying to make an NBA team next year, and I think he's trying to show some versatility. He's shot some threes. He's trying to guard on the perimeter more. Yale is just always one of those teams that are just super fundamental, right? They'll try to find, they'll use any strategy or advantage that they can, anything that they can to their advantage. I like their Garbang. And this one I think could be fun for a while. But I think ultimately Auburn's athletes kind of overwhelm Yale and end up pulling this off. So I have Auburn advancing, but Auburn is, like, their offense is run by a freshman point guard. So I don't know if that's an indicator of where I might have Auburn or how far I have Auburn going, but freshman point guards, man, like, no matter how good they are, they can make some, like, poorly timed mistake that could kill your season. So I'm not saying that's going to happen, and it's probably not going to matter in this matchup per se too much, but might be something that we'll factor in here later in this region. The 6-11 is BYU and Duquesne. I have BYU here, even though I think Duquesne is a really live dog. Duquesne, the problem is Duquesne going to score? Duquesne's defense is pretty good. I'm not going to say amazing, but this is a deep team. Deep as in they play like 12 guys, legitimately play like 11 or 12 guys. And they all are basically about the same. So there's not like a real drop off from the bench to the starters, which is usually a team that I would really like because the standard is always the same. The problem is, what is the ceiling of that standard? Is that ceiling for that core actually high enough to knock off someone like BYU? I think it's possible. I don't know if it'll actually get there, but they're a really good defensive team. BYU, we know that they do a lot of motion sets, back cuts, up screens, all of that, but it relies heavily on the three-point line. So it's kind of like a three-point variance game here, but I'm going to take BYU. The 3-14 matchup, Illinois-Morehead State. I think a lot of people like Morehead State. Illinois, honestly, has the talent and depth to win the national championship. They just do. The problem is Illinois kind of always falls flat on their face. And I don't think their defense is quite good enough. And their head coach, kind of like Arizona, they always seem to lose earlier than they should. So it's a coach that we haven't been able to trust yet. Now are we going to finally see it? In this game, yes. I've got Illinois beating Morehead State. Morehead State, though, is a good defensive team. And if they're hitting threes, watch out. This could be a really fun matchup here, but I'm going to take Illinois to win this one. But wouldn't be surprised by Morehead State winning this. The 7-10 in this region is Washington State versus Drake. Washington State, you know, I want to take Washington State. They beat Arizona twice in the regular season close margin. They have a lot of versatile, tall, lanky guys. Like, this is, you know, guys that can shoot, dribble, pass that are 6'6 plus. I'm interested in that team, right? But they're going against the darling that I love in Drake, who knocked off my beloved Indiana State in the final of the Mountain West or Missouri Valley tournament. I want to take Drake. Look, I promise I'm not deciding this now. I wrote this out before, but still, when I look at my pick, I still want to overthink it and take Drake because I really like the team. I'm going to take Washington State because it sets up something for me. I just think they have too much. I think the game's going to be super close, going to come down to the final minute. I think if you take away Tucker DeVries from Drake, it's really asking a lot from all the role pieces. The role pieces are capable. They don't really create a whole lot. But if they can sit there and set and take set shots, they're much better than having to create for themselves off the dribble. And that's kind of what they did in the Missouri Valley Championship against Indiana State. Like, they started the game like 8-for-8 from three. And that early margin, Indiana State just couldn't come all the way back from. But Indiana State was down like 16 or 17 points and came all the way back and made it the game at the end. And were winning, I believe, in the final minute. And Drake pulled it out at the very end. Now, the 2-15 is Iowa State, South Dakota State. I don't think South Dakota State really has anything to bother Iowa State. The only way this is a game is if Iowa State just sucks. Like, if they just, they're not a good offensive team. If they just play poorly, this will be closer than what should be. But they should have enough defensively to actually advance here. Which gets us around to UConn-FAU. I'm not going to do it again. But everything in my gut says take FAU over UConn. Like, these are kind of teams that are built the same way. One big guy, four guards. UConn's starting lineup, their four guards, however, are just 3 or 4 inches taller than everybody on FAU. So it's a real 3-point shooting variance in this game to me. I don't think UConn has a great bench. Definitely Donovan Clingan hasn't been challenged like this, but trying to guard guards in the perimeter, because I imagine he's just going to be put in pick and rolls in this potential matchup over and over and over. But it's not like they have a big that could stretch him out and really bother him, right? Like Golden for FAU is a guy who's going to be around the basket, mid-range. He's not really going to shoot a pull-up shot or a three, which I think is kind of the X factor that could knock off this UConn team. So I love this game, this potential matchup, but I think UConn does prevail in it. Now I get to UAB Auburn. I'm taking Auburn in this one, just a matchup of kind of athletic teams. I think Auburn's a little better, even though both teams are wild cards. Like they play fast and not necessarily wild, but they can get all over the place pretty quickly. But I'm going to take Auburn here. BYU versus Illinois. I'm going to have Illinois advance. Battle of offense. Nobody's stopping anybody. I think the firepower of Illinois gets them through. Washington State versus Iowa State. Like I said, around one, if Iowa State sucks on offense, it could be a game, but the defense holds on. If Iowa State's offense sucks in this matchup against Washington State, their defense is still really good, right? But Washington State actually has the firepower to knock off this Iowa State team. And guess what? They're going to. Washington State to the Sweet 16, they knock off Iowa State early. So let's get to the Sweet 16. UConn versus Auburn. This is where the freshman point guard play comes back into it. Tristan Newton from UConn is just experienced. He's been there. He's going to be better. They just have a little bit more. I think they're more, maybe composed is the wrong word, but I think they just kind of can execute better than what Auburn can. And this will come down to it late, but UConn will just out-execute them and get them to the Elite Eight. So UConn advances. Illinois versus Washington State. This is where the run for me for Washington State ends. Illinois advances to the Elite Eight to a very anticipated matchup between UConn and Illinois. Illinois' defense, however, is going to get them in the end because UConn is going to advance to the Final Four. And that's the thing about Illinois. If you want to say, man, they have an awesome offense and they can outscore everybody. But the reason they lost is what? It's because of their defense. So they could absolutely lose early or earlier than this. I think the bracket kind of breaks perfect for them in matchups to where they can actually make it to the Elite Eight here and is a live dog against UConn. I mean, things would have to go wrong for UConn for me. Like, they would just have to play poorly. But I think UConn makes it to the Final Four. So, on this side of the region, our Final Four matchup is Arizona and Connecticut. And I'm taking Arizona. I know. I hate it myself. I don't think UConn's going to repeat. I think there are actually questions about this team that. I think Arizona just matches up with them physically. That makes sense. Ballo, this is a great matchup for him because Klingon is not going to shoot a perimeter shot. He's going to be based around the rim, which helps him out. Now, UConn does have the guards to put him in screens to bother him, and maybe they get Klingon on rolls, but it's not like the Big East Conference, right? Like if Ballo steps out and they throw it to Klingon, Arizona has 6'8", 6'10", right behind it. Not 6'4", guy rotating and help over like someone like Seton Hall or Providence. So I think that UConn's run ends here in the Final Four, which is still a fantastic run. I don't think they're going to repeat. Yes, there's questions about the head coach. Yes, can Arizona get down and kind of go away from the script and just start chucking and play hero ball? 100% they can do that. But I think the structure of the team, I think Arizona makes the national championship. So that's the East and West region. I'll be right back with the South and the Midwest. So let me know what you think about those. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for the South and Midwest, my bracket, coming up soon.